That is an awe moment, isn't it? Amen. Yeah. When I was a child, I wanted to be like Mike. I think the reason that I began to eat Wheaties cereal is because Michael Jordan was on the box. And if you grew up in the years that Michael Jordan played, or you were a fan of basketball, you wanted to be like Mike. I made in my driveway a stair-step concoction of cinder blocks and milk crates so that I could take a basketball and I could begin running about 50 yards away, and I could run up the stair steps, and I could jump off of the top of the stair step, and I could do my best to imitate Michael Jordan and spin around and slam a basketball through the rim on the basketball goal. I think I lowered the basketball goal to about 6 feet in order to be able to do that. But the point is the same all the way around. When you are in awe of something, you want to imitate it. When you are in awe of something, you want to obey it. That's what John taught us last week, and what I learned is that if you want to hear a really good sermon at Foley United Methodist Church, you need Nolan to leave and to let John preach. You clapped in the middle of his sermon. That's amazing. Yeah. But what he showed us out of Isaiah 6 is true, that when something inspires us, when we find awe in the way that only we can find it, that we want our lives to spring into action, that the answer to awe is obedience, and that what we do is that we take the things that inspire us and we live in a way that imitates them. We do it with all kinds of things, whether it's a basketball player as a kid, whether it's money and possessions as adults, whether it's seeking after the created instead of the creator. Ultimately, whatever gives us awe moves us to the point of inspiration and obedience. We are a culture that is chasing awe in all kind of ways. We have lived in the place of awe replacement that says we can find meaning and satisfaction out of the creation instead of the creator. But that is not what this series has been about. The ultimate point of this series was to lead us to exactly where we are, to lead us to this idea of whatever inspires us, we obey, to help us reach the point where we get our awe right. Because when we get our awe right, when we use the things that inspire us and give us awe in the world around us to point us back to God, when we pay attention and talk about it and are astonished, when we get our awe right, we find life. And ultimately, the place we find the greatest awe is in this gift that God gives in the very person of Jesus, that by His coming and actions and His life and His example for us, that we have the greatest source of inspiration and ultimately the greatest draw to obedience and to life ever. It brings us to the ultimate goal of all of this, is that we would live into the very idea of who we were created to be, of who we are made to be and what our role is to be in the world around us. And that is that we would be awe bearers, that we would become the people who, when we have been inspired by the gift of God, when we have been inspired by the presence of God, that we would take what has happened in us, that we would take that and it would become a reflection of God to the world around us. The ultimate goal is that we would live out and connect to our created goal, that we would be the people who carry the awe of God to the world around us. This is the very story of Scripture. We see it in so many places across the pages of Scripture. You can go back all the way to the very first page of the Bible and see it in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created humanity in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God created us in His image. God placed us, placed inside of us the very reflection of who He was. That from the very first breath of life, our job is to reflect that image that He has put inside of us. You can look at Isaiah 6 that John read last week and remind yourself of verse 8, where Isaiah writes, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then Isaiah said, 'Here I am, send me.'" You hear what God says in there? You hear what he says to Isaiah? Who will go for us? When Isaiah has this moment where he's inspired, where he's realized that he's worthy, where he is made whole, the next thing that God says to him is, who will go for us? Who will be our representative? Who will go out into the world as a reflection of who we are? And Isaiah's response is, here I am, Lord. I'll go. Send me. I'll serve. I'll sacrifice. I'll give. I'll stand up. I'll speak. I'll be an awe-bearer for you. Because you imitate what gives you awe. What inspires you, moves you to obedience. And then Paul says it like this in his letter to the Romans, Romans 8, verse 29. He says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Paul talks about that we would be shaped into the image of Jesus, that we would reflect the very nature of Jesus, that we would become like Jesus. That's one of those phrases in the church that sometimes people hear it and they say, I don't know. I don't know what it would be like to be Jesus. I think we get so caught up sometimes that Jesus was from God and that he was 100% divine. And we think about that he was a first century Jewish carpenter and we're like, I don't know how to be like Jesus. I could never be like Jesus. And I wonder if what we really ought to think about when we think about us becoming like Jesus is really the fact that Jesus was also fully human. He was 100% divine, and in the paradox of God, he was also 100% human. He was the picture of what it looks like to be fully human and fully alive. He was the picture of what it looks like to embrace the gift of humanity better than anyone else has ever done it before. What would it look like for us, instead of thinking that we need to become like a first century Jewish carpenter, what would it look like to begin to think about what would it look like if Jesus was living your life? What would it look like if Jesus was living the life that you currently live? What would it look like if Jesus were a retiree on the Gulf Coast? What would he give his time to and his attention? What would it look like if Jesus lived in your house and lived in your neighborhood? What would it look like if Jesus were a snowbird or a grandparent? What would it look like if Jesus was a teacher or a student at the local school? What would it look like if Jesus were a widow or a former business owner? What would it look like if Jesus was living your life? How would he go about living your life? What would he do if he walked the places you walked and visited with the people you visited with? I think all of us would look different. We would find that because we all have unique gifts, we would show up in those places in very different ways. But there would be one commonality. We would all be awe bearers. We would all reflect the very likeness of God into the world around us. We would carry out the look of who God is in the places that we went. I love the stories of ancient Judaism in the ancient times before Jesus came, when they built the temple that was the place that they believed God inhabited and lived. And as they built that temple, they made a rule that they said there would be no pictures or statues in the temple. Every other place of worship in that world at that time would have statues of their God and tapestries and mosaics and things that were designed to give images of God and help them see what God looked like and help them worship more completely. And the Jewish people, the ones who lived in covenant with God, said, we don't need pictures of God in our temple because we are the image of God. If you want to know what God looks like, all you have to do is look at the people who are gathered in this space. Because we were made in the image of God. He put his image in us, and it is our job to be awe bearers to the world around us. And so just like those ancient people would do, we sit and say, we are the reflection of God. We are the ones who have been given the gift of his image. And what might it look like if we lived our lives as awe bearers? I think there would be four things that we would see in our lives if we began to live in the way that God lives, if we began to reflect the image of God to the world around us. I believe that we would all be creating, not in the way that God creates, but in the way that brings life to people around us, in the way that shines the light in the darkness, in the way that gives life in places where other people might not find it. in the ways that makes things better in the places they go, in the ways that doesn't leave a relationship worse than they found it, or doesn't leave a place hurting more after they're gone. I believe we would all be people who are giving, not just in financial ways, but giving of all we are. When we begin to get our all right, we realize that life is a gift. We realize that all we have is what God has given us. And it becomes our great joy to say, how can we funnel the very gifts that God has given to us into other people? Whether it's resources or our efforts or our time or our heart or our love or our attention or our emotional energy, we begin to say we give because out of giving, we find more moments of awe and reflect His life better. I believe we would be people of forgiving. Just this morning, we've prayed again the prayer of confession, this time like a mighty river rushing. And we've remembered that we've fallen short, but yet God is one who is always merciful. That God always continues to pour out His mercy, and He pursues us with an unrelenting love. He forgives us over and over again. No matter where we've been, we have not gone too far for God to reach us. I believe if we were living the image of God, if we were all bearers, we would forgive in the same way. We would be quick to release the burden. We would be quick to lay down our weapons that want to fight the person next to us. We would forgive and forgive and then forgive some more. And I believe, ultimately, if we were really living as all bearers, that we would be loving. Because if you have to boil God down to anything, the very essence of the Holy Trinity is love. And that we would love in the same reckless way that God loves. That we would love people who look like us, and we would love people who don't look like us. That we would love people who think like us, and we would love people who don't think like us. That we would love people who vote like us, and we would love people who don't vote like us. That there is nowhere we would go that we would not express and demonstrate the love of God. That we would love every person who walks inside these doors and love every person that we meet outside of these doors. Because if we are going to reflect the image of God, there is nothing that we can do greater than love. That's what God gives first to us. That's the best gift that He gives us in His Son. And it's what we will come now to this table as we remember His awe to celebrate. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious Father, we give You thanks that You are an awesome God, greater than we can comprehend. And Lord, in these moments, we pray that You would fill us with a renewed sense of Your awe, not just so we can be enamored by what wonderful things You can do, but that You would fill us with the sense of awe that inspires us, that makes us whole, and then moves us to be awe bearers in the world around us. Lord, let us reflect Your light to the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.